I bid each of you a pleasant and good Lord's Day morning, and we're thankful that you found it within the framework of your schedule to assemble with the saints on this occasion. We're glad you're here. I encourage you to get your Bible and to search the Scriptures with us. Let me ask you a little question. Does the Bible mention a plumb line? It surely does. In the book of Amos, in chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, one of the things that the Lord showed Amos was a plumb line. As Amos said, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I'll set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I'll not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I'll rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." That's Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. Did you see anything as you looked up here at the board this morning? Do you know what this is? It's a plumb line. This weight on the end of this line is called a plumb bob. And somebody said, what's that for? Well, it's a measuring instrument. You can hang that, and when that weight quits moving, you've got a perfectly straight line. And you can measure based upon that. You can tell whether or not a wall is straight, whether it's plumb, by a plumb line. You know, a fellow might take a look at a wall and he'd say, yeah, it looks good to me. I'd say it's plumb. It looks straight to me. But you can't go by that. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Or you might look to somebody else. You might say, is this plumb? Is this straight? And it might be somebody in whom you have a great deal of confidence. It might be a fella that's been a carpenter for a number of years and he has a good eye for that. And so you think, there's no need for me to stretch a plumb line. If he says it's plumb, it's plumb. You can't do that spiritually. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Men can be wrong. And there are those who are guided and governed by men and their wisdom rather than setting the divine plumb line to find out whether or not a thing is straight or plumb. And you can't go by what the majority of people might think. You might take a poll. You might ask a number of different people, what do you think about this wall? Is it straight? And 9 out of 10 say it's straight. Yes, it's plumb. So you say, well, there's no need to set a plumb line. Well, you know the Bible teaches that the way to heaven is the way of the few. But when the Bible describes the broad way that leads to destruction, many there be which go in thereat. Matthew 7, 13 to 14. And so just because you think it's plumb, or somebody in whom you have confidence, or the majority of people say it's plumb, you can't go by that. You've got to stretch out the plumb line. And the Bible, the Word of God, is the divine measuring standard. In the book of Psalm 33 and verse 4, it said that the Word of the Lord is right. In the petition of Jesus to His Father, as recorded in John 17, 17, He said, "Thy Word is truth." And it's going to be that which judges us at the last day, John 12. And in verse 48, as Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Just as you can set a plumb line and tell whether a wall is straight or it's crooked, you and I from time to time need to take God's word, the divine plumb line, and measure ourselves by it to make sure that we are in agreement, that we are in line with God's rule. If we're not careful, we can be off a little bit and not know it. And if we're not careful, we can become further and further away from God's line. We may start out just a little bit off You might say, well, it's just a little bit. But think about where that leads. The next thing you know, you're a long way off. You're way out of plumb, way out of harmony with the Bible, the Word of God. Just as God's people were out of line with God's rule and they were ripe for destruction, I need to examine myself, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to make sure I'm plumb. And if I'm not, if I find that I'm out of line with God's rule, with God's standard of measurement, I need to make the proper adjustment. I need to bring my life back into agreement with what the Bible teaches. And so I thought it'd be profitable to take this physical illustration and make some spiritual application of it. To recognize that this book, the Bible, the Word of God, is the plumb line. And to stretch it out today, if you will, in our lives, that we might measure ourselves thereby in a number of different areas. One area in which you and I might take a plumb line and do some spiritual measurement is when it comes to our attendance. You know, the Lord's people have always been called together to worship God. That was true in Old Testament times. You read of numerous examples where the Lord's people came together. In New Testament days, the Lord called His people together in the church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, we read, "Were they continuing daily with one accord in the temple?" And then again in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 31, "The place was shaken where they were assembled together." In Acts chapter 11, we read with reference to the church at Antioch, how that Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, along with Barnabas, were said to have assembled themselves with the church a whole year, Acts 11, and in verse 26. In Acts 20 and in verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples, what did they do? Came together to break bread. If you'd been a disciple at Troas, would you have been there? When I think about a plumb line, here's what the plumb line reads in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." Now some would read that as if it was the word assembly, L-Y, but it's not. It's assembling, I-N-G. There's a difference. Assembly would take in one time we come together, like this occasion. This is an assembly. But assembling suggests continuous action, doesn't it? And would include every time the Lord's people come together. And I need to be there. I should want to be there. Now, there are some excuses that are offered for not being in attendance, right? The Lord's people sometimes make excuses. And next thing you know, we completely excuse ourselves from doing what the Lord said. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the Lord said, "Seek ye first." What's that word "first" mean? Before everything else. Seek first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, we're just stretching out the plumb line today to see what it says. And all of us will measure ourselves by that. And if I'm out of line with that line, if I'm not plumb, I need to make some adjustments. I may need to adjust my schedule. I need to make my priorities in proper order so that when it comes to the divine plumb line being set out in regard to my attendance, I'm in line with what the Bible teaches about that. If I've been guilty of forsaking the assembly, willfully absenting myself from the assembling of the Lord's people, I need to correct that, lest I be out of plumb. But I'll tell you another area where we might stretch out a plumb line from a spiritual standpoint. And that is when it comes to our attitudes. You know, attitude is something that everybody has, good or bad. And it shapes who we are. It's like Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible describes a number of wonderful attitudes that we need to have, like in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, when Paul talked about walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Notice these good attitudes. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. These are excellent attitudes, aren't they? Like lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, or patience, forbearance, and love. That describes the kind of attitude that I need to have. Sometimes we may be guilty of having a bad attitude. Instead of being lowly and meek, we might be arrogant and haughty and high-minded. Instead of suffering long, we may fly off a handle. We may be impatient. Instead of forbearing, we may not put up with, we may not tolerate. Some people are difficult to get along with. They don't have much forbearance. They don't have any give and take. When it comes to matters of judgment, it's not that you compromise the truth or you overlook sin, but at the same time, we need to forbear one another. And we need to have this good attitude of love. You know, there are those who sometimes have a bad attitude toward their brethren. Instead of loving their brethren, they're murderers. You know, John described that. Did you know that you could be guilty of murder without picking up a gun or a knife? Just by having the wrong attitude toward a brother. You know, 1 John 3 and verse 15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a what? Murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. What's our attitude toward God, toward his word, toward his people, toward the work of the Lord? When you stretch out the plumb line and you begin to see what it says, what it reads, does my attitude fit that? Or have my attitude sometimes gotten away from that so that my attitudes are not right? If so, I need to have a change in my attitude. And a lot of times, the only thing that needs to change a person's behavior, is that they have a little adjustment in their attitude. How's my attitude today? I'll tell you another area in which we might stretch out a plumb line, and that is when it comes to the way that we treat others. You know, there's a real problem today in the school system with bullying. You've seen a lot about that, heard a lot about it lately, haven't you? Because there have been those that have thought there's no way out but to take their own life. And it's starting younger and younger. Little children that are being bullied. And there are those who will retaliate. That's one reason some have taken guns into school and started shooting. Come to find out they'd been bullied. And they were targeting those that had been picking on them. And there are those that have tried to find a solution to all of that. There's been a lot of debate. I heard a little segment of a radio broadcast. A fella was promoting the idea that young people ought to be allowed to fight back. That's the solution. That those that are being bullied, they ought to fight back. They ought to be able to retaliate. They can't do that. Well, I suggest to you that's not the solution. That retaliating is not the solution. Fighting back is not the answer. I believe there's a good little principle recorded in the book of Matthew that would solve that problem if practiced. It's called the golden rule. When in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, the Lord said, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In other words, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Treat other people the way you'd want to be treated. That's a good standard, isn't it? That's plumb. When I have that philosophy that I'm going to treat other people the way I'd want to be treated, and if I wouldn't want people to say that about me, I'm not going to say that about them. If I wouldn't want somebody to do that to me, I'm not going to do that to them. If I would want somebody to say that to me or about me, or I'd want them to do that to me or for me, then I'm going to say that. I'm going to do that. Then my life's plumb, you see. But we've got a lot of people today that are way out of kilter because they're not living by this rule. There may be those who are doing unto others as they do to them. Right? That's not what it says. It's not that you treat other people the way that they treat you, but you do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's a good principle, isn't it? And the sooner we learn that, the sooner we practice that, the better off we'll be. You know, when you think about others, we need to be mindful of others. There are some who are out of plumb by not even thinking about other people, right? I'd be way off base here if I didn't give consideration to others. Some are so self-centered, they can't see beyond the nose of their own face. And yet in Philippians 2 and 4, Paul said, "Look not every man on his own things." Remember the rest of that? "But every man also on the things of others." And so I need to consider others. What's his need? What's her need? What is it that's going on in their life? How can I be of help to him? How can I be of service to her? Yeah, think of others. And one of the greatest considerations we can show for others is to teach others. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul said, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to what? Teach others also." And so if I spend time teaching others, as the Bible instructs and directs, then I'm plumb. So when you think about how we treat others, I need to do unto them as I'd have them do unto me. I need to be considerate of them, think of them, look on the things of others, and I need to teach others. Am I plumb? Am I in line with that plumb line? But then as I thought about casting a plumb line or setting a plumb line in the midst from the book of Amos, I thought about another area in which we might set a plumb line. And that is, we might set a plumb line when it comes to our giving. Do you think it's possible for a person to rob God? It's been done. The Lord's people in the book of Malachi were guilty of robbing God. You know how they did that? In their giving. By not giving God what was due. In Malachi 3 and verse 8, Malachi said, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" They were guilty of robbery, and they didn't even know it. They had robbed God in tithes and offerings. At this particular time, the Lord expected His people to tithe. But in the New Testament, the system by which we're subject, live by, it does not bind a certain amount or percentage. But rather, we are instructed in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, 1 and 2. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him." And so the plumb line says, give as you've been prospered. Now, if I give less than I've been prospered, if my giving is not in proportion with my prospering, then I'm out of plumb when it comes to my giving. Also, in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7, Paul talks about sowing sparingly and bountifully, and how that every man, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And so if I give sparingly, I'm stingy in my giving. Or if I give grudgingly, I complain about it. I have a bad attitude toward it. Or of necessity, I just give because I have to. Then I'm not plumb. You see, I'm not aligned with God's rule. My giving is in line with God's rule when it's as prospered, bountifully, and cheerfully. And also, the Scriptures teach the principle of giving sacrificially, just like the poor widow was complimented by the Lord. Remember, the rich just cast in of their abundance, but she was recognized for her sacrifice. And remember the good sacrifice story of David when presented with an opportunity to offer something to God that didn't cost him anything? He said, I'm not going to do that. 2 Samuel 24. You can read all about it. And so when it comes to our giving, when we set a plumb line, how do we measure? Plumb? Or do we need to make some adjustment in that? I tell you another area in which we might set a plumb line today, and that is when it comes to our purity. You know, the Bible teaches the need for God's people to be a pure people. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, Paul said, keep thyself pure. It's one of the thyself commands. You know, there are some things that only you can do and nobody else can. Thyself. You can't keep me pure. I can't keep you pure. Right? We can encourage one another. But when it comes to purity, it's something that I have to do for myself. And you must do for yourself. In 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul said, flee youthful lust. He told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. And how can we be pure if we don't think on pure things? Philippians 4 and verse 8. I think about what goes in is what comes out. What kind of music do we listen to? What kind of television programs do we watch? We allow our young people to watch. We want them to be pure, right? And you might get to looking around and you might think, well, they're pure, or I'm pure. And you start comparing yourself by other standards. Well, in relation to this, I'd say I'm pretty pure. But you've got to remember, you've got to go by the plumb line. You've got to go by what the book says. And so do I. When it teaches the concept of purity and what's involved in living soberly, righteously, and godly, and denying ungodliness and worldly lust, as Titus 2, 11 through 13 teaches. Am I in line with that? Am I pure? But also, when I thought about the plumb line, I thought about another area that we might cast or set a plumb line. And that is, we might, from time to time, ought to set a plumb line when it comes to the use of our tongue. What do you think? When you think about your tongue, it has a lot of power. In fact, the wise man talked about the fact in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. James wrote about it in James chapter 3. He said a great deal about it. He talked about its power as well. He talked about how it's small, but yet it has mammoth power. It's like a horse bit in a horse's mouth. You think about that tiny bit, able to guide and control a great beast, like a big horse. You think about how he compared it to a helm of a ship. A great, mighty ship is moved about by just a little helm. And that's your tongue. It has a lot of power, and so we need to be careful as to how we use it. It's compared to a sword, a spear, to a bow. And it's, James said, full of deadly poison. He said it's fire. Remember all the millions and millions of acres down through the ages that have been set ablazing? And just most of the time just started by just a little spark or something. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. There are a lot of churches that have been set ablazing because of some unrestrained tongues, some words spoken that shouldn't have been. And it's kind of like water spilled on the ground. You can't pick it back up. Once it's out there, it's out there. And so you think about the line, what the Bible says about the tongue. Whoso keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, Proverbs 13:3. And there's some uses of the tongue that would cause me to be out of swing, out of plumb, like slander, Proverbs 10 and 18, tale-bearing, Proverbs 11:13, lying, Proverbs 14:5, corrupt communication, Ephesians 4:29. You see, those will be out of line with the plumb. And if I've been using my mouth in ways that are displeasing to the Lord, then I need to make correction of that I might be plumb. Well, let me think with you about another area where we might set a plumb line. And that is, we might set a plumb line when it comes to the family relationship. I might, first of all, set a plumb line in regard to my marriage. Is my marriage plumb? That is my marriage in line with what the Bible teaches about marriage? You might think about that. You know, there are marriages today that aren't in line with God's rule. And that there are those who, for whatever reason, are satisfied with what the Bible teaches about that. Maybe they've turned their attention to what some men have told them. Or what they think. I think it's all right. Human reasoning, seems to me. Or I've been told, or here's what the law of the land says, instead of what the plumb line says. The plumb line says, one man for one woman for life, doesn't it? Remember, God formed man, he saw his need of companionship, he took a rib from his side, made a woman, brought her into the man, and thus they became one flesh. Genesis 2:18 through 24. And what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Matthew 19 and then verse 6. Two men together, or two women together, is not plumb. That does not fit the plumb line that's been set by the Lord. Disposable marriages. Marriages that are done today and undone tomorrow are not plumb. And in Matthew 19:9, when the Lord said, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. An individual who's put away his wife or put away her husband and married somebody else without fornication being involved is involved in a marriage that's not plumb. It's not in line with God's word or God's standard. Matthew 19:9. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. To marry somebody that's been put away or divorced is not plumb, as the Lord did not give a person put away the right to marry. And so, is my marriage plumb? But think about that relationship between a husband and wife. As a husband in that relationship, am I plumb? Do I love my wife as I love myself, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? Ephesians 5. Do I give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel? 1 Peter 3 and then verse 7. Do I provide for the family like I should? If any provide not for his own, he's worse than an infidel, Paul said. That is, he's worse than an unbeliever, because even unbelievers provide for their own. And so am I plumb when it comes to the husband? What about as a wife? Are you in line with God's rule? You think about the plumb line, how it says that she is to be in subjection to her husband, reverence her husband, love her husband. Think about when children are involved in this relationship. Are we plumb as parents in that we are bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, training them up in the way that they should go, not provoking them to wrath, setting the proper example? What about as children in that relationship? Do we honor our parents? Do we obey our parents? Or do we need to make some adjustment in our lives? Well, that could go on and on, couldn't it? As you think about a plumb line and where it could be set and how there's always the need for us to get out the plumb line, God's rule, God's standard, and measure ourselves and make sure we're in line with what the Bible teaches. But one other area that I want to suggest to you, and that is when it comes to the church, we need to set a plumb line. You know, there are some churches today that just are not plumb. Most churches. When you get the plumb line out, you get the Bible and you start measuring, you'll find they're off base with what the Bible teaches. You'll find they've got the wrong origin. The Bible origin of the church is in the mind of God. Ephesians 3:10, 11. It originated in Jerusalem on the first Pentecost following the resurrection ascension of our Lord from the grave, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. That was in the last days among all nations, just as the prophet foretold in Isaiah 2:2 through 3, about AD 33. Churches that originated after that are too new to be plumb. And so you measure their origin. You think about the builder built by Christ, Matthew 16:18. You get to measure who the head is. Christ is the head of the church, Ephesians 1:21-23. They've got a human builder. They're not plumb. You think about their work. You know, there are churches today, when you get to sit in a plumb line, their work's out of line with what the Bible teaches. And that they've taken on work that the Bible does not allow. Like food, fun, and frolic. They've turned to social activities and they've turned the Church of Our Lord into a glorified country club where just about anything goes. They're not plumb. Think about the worship. The early church worshipped in spirit and in truth upon the Lord's day. Singing, praying, teaching, observing the Lord's Supper, giving of their means. Acts 2:42 mentions four. They also sang, Ephesians 5:19. Continued in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. When we do that, as they did, then we're in line with the plumb line. But when you begin to innovate and bring in some things that the Lord nowhere authorized as acts of worship, or you leave off some of these acts that the Lord instructed, then you're out of plumb. You think about the organization of the church. Churches today have offices and officers that you can't read about in the Bible. They're not plumb. We need to make sure that when it comes to the church, as we set a plumb line, that everything that we do is done in the name of the Lord. That is, by His authority. Colossians 3 and verse 17. And when you set the plumb line, if there's something that's off base, it's not in line, it's not square, it's not plumb, it's not straight, even if it's off just a little bit, we need to know about that so that we can make the proper adjustments that need to be made, that God may receive the glory in all things in the church by Christ Jesus. But you might think about some other areas that you might measure with a plumb line. And may each one of us do that individually. And where we find changes or corrections or adjustments that need to be made, we'll have the courage and the conviction to do that, that we might be plumb. Unfortunately, when the plumb line was set at that time, in the days of Amos, the Lord's people were out of line with God's rule. And as seen by the basket of summer fruit, they were ripe for destruction. May that not be the case with us. There may be those who've not yet obeyed the gospel. When you come to an understanding that you've committed sin, that your heart's not right with God, and that the Lord says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, to be plumb, you need to do that. You need to obey the gospel. Now's the time to do that while you have the opportunity. As you hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and are baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. By doing that, you bring your life into plumb. You see, you're out of plumb when you're not a Christian, when you've not obeyed the gospel. And you are at an age where you understand the difference between right and wrong, and you realize that you sinned against God. You need to bring your life into harmony with what the Bible teaches through gospel obedience. Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. And at that point, we're straight. We're perfectly straight, in that all of our crookedness has been removed. Our sins have been washed away. But you know, it's possible for us to kind of get off base over time. It's possible for us to get out of plumb, as you think about this illustration. And that's what happened to Simon, when his heart was not right in the sight of God after he obeyed the gospel. And he was told to repent and pray. He had to make some corrections, make some adjustments. And if we need to do that, may we do that and repent, pray that the God of heaven might forgive us. If we can assist you today in making things plumb from a spiritual standpoint, we're here to do that. If you make your way to the front, as together we now stand and sing.